It is our prayer. Shine thou upon us, Lord. As we turn now to his word, let's turn together to Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. We continue our study. And as was said earlier, we're at the 10th plague. It's that dark night of judgment. It's been declared on Pharaoh and on all of Egypt. But now in chapter 12, we turn to the declaration of what's to come to Israel. And that's what we have in the opening verses of chapter 12. So we'll look at verses 1 through 13 tonight. And there's announcement, there's instruction, and this instruction needs to be followed very carefully. And so we'll give attention to that from verses 1 through 13 of Exodus chapter 12. Before we read that passage, let's pray. Father, we do need the illumination of the Holy Spirit to be able to receive and believe and understand and grow according to this, your word. So we pray that you would do that powerful work amongst your people, that this would be a time of conversion, of conviction, of comfort, as we have before us your word read and preached. We pray, O Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, I invite you to stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's word. Again, Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Exodus 12, 1 through 13. This is God's word. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you in the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Here is then that announcement of judgment to come, given now to Israel, but also the announcement of the Passover. The announcement of the Passover. And note that the Lord speaks this to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. They're still in the land of bondage. They're still in slavery. And yet, God comes to them in this place of oppression, and he comes with good news. He comes with good tidings of great joy. He comes with hope for all people. Notice in verse 2, he proclaims the beginning of months. He proclaims the beginning of a new year. There will be for God's people a new month, a new year, new life. Time itself will be wrapped around this historical event of God's deliverance of his people from Egypt. Time itself will be wrapped around that. No more slavery. Now they're moving from slavery to freedom, no more bondage. They're now going to be free. And notice the Lord proclaims the beginning of months. Did you see that? The beginning of months. That means there are more months to follow. This isn't the final month. It's the beginning of months, which roughly this month corresponds to our March and April and became known as Nisan. God and his redeeming work is to be reflected in the very cycle of the years of Israel. All this is so they can never forget this glorious deliverance which God has accomplished for them. God knows the plans he has for his people, plans not to harm them, but to prosper them, plans to give them a future and a hope. And you notice that future and hope has a focus here. The focus of that future, the focus of that hope is centered now on the Lamb. Verse 3. That future, that focus is all centered here on the Lamb, and especially the blood of the Lamb. Verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. The people of God need a lamb. The people of God need a sacrifice. They need a substitute, one to take their place. Now, we're at chapter 12 now. We've been in Exodus for a little while, and you've seen that the focus has been up to this point very much on the sins of Egypt, the rebellion of Egypt, and especially of Pharaoh against God. But we must not forget that Israel is guilty also. They are sinners as well. In fact, they are every bit as deserving of judgment as Egypt. In the chapters to come in the book of Exodus, we'll see that as the attention shifts from the Egyptians to the Israelites and their wanderings in the wilderness and their very many sins. Those sins in the wilderness, sins of complaining and grumbling and rebelling and idolatry and violence and doubting, all those things, those seeds of those sins are in their hearts now. All it will take are the trials of their wilderness wanderings for them to come to expression. And let us not forget that even as God knows Pharaoh's heart and the heart of the Egyptians, he also knows Israel's heart. He knows what they're going to do in the wilderness. He knows how they're going to spurn his good gifts and turn to idolatry. He knows what's in their hearts. But through this and through the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, God would teach them what is in their hearts and that they would come to know more and more their need for a sacrifice, their need for a lamb, their need for a substitute, so that they would know that the only thing that makes, as God has been saying, the difference between the Egyptians on this dark night of judgment and themselves is not their works, not their standing, but the blood of the lamb. That's all that makes the difference here. Throughout the plagues, God's been making that distinction between Egypt and Israel so that no plague has come near the dwelling of his people. But now, for the very first time, did you notice this as we were reading the instructions here? In this last plague, this climactic plague, God, for the first time, requires that his people do something to shield themselves from this plague. God is about to come down in their midst, as it were. He's going to visit them and visit Egypt with judgment. And because of that, they need to be prepared. They need to be ready. There's preparation for his arrival. And he's making clear to them that they need a covering if he is to come down. They need a substitute. They need a sacrifice, a lamb, a savior. And it's necessary for them to take a lamb, and God tells them what they must do with it, what must be done with the lamb in verses 4 and following. Notice already in verse 4 that God's provision of a lamb is a gracious provision. Do you see the provision there? If there were not enough people in one household for a lamb, they could join with the household next to them. One commentator puts it this way, helping us to understand. The concern here is not that there be too many people for the lamb. The concern here is that there be enough people for the lamb. So there's God's gracious provision already there. God's teaching already in the Old Testament way, if you will, that precious is the blood of the lamb. Verse 5 then, while the people are to choose the lamb for their household, God specifies what is needed. It must be a lamb without blemish, a male in its first year. And yet here, also more gracious provision, because it can be taken either from the goats or the sheep. In verse 6, the lamb is to be taken on the 10th day and then to be kept with them until the 14th day. So they choose this little lamb, and for 4 days, the family was to keep that lamb. During those 4 days, they would begin to identify with that little lamb. It might even become something of a pet to some of them. And the lamb would be made all the more precious to them as their substitute. Because then on the 14th day, at twilight, they must kill the lamb. And after killing it, they must do something with it, specifically with the blood, verse 7. They must make use of the blood. The sacrificial blood must be applied. And so they're to take that blood of the lamb and to put it on the two doorposts of the homes and on the lintel of the houses where they will then eat it. And we'll learn later in verse 22 of this chapter that they must then hide themselves inside the house marked with the blood of the lamb. They're not to go out of their house until morning. But during the night, that dark night of judgment, they're not going to go simply to bed. They're not going to rest. They're to do something else in their homes. They're to eat the lamb. They're to eat a meal. It's described for us in verses 8 and following. They're to eat the lamb on that night, roasted in fire, and they're to eat it with unleavened bread. There's no time for leavening the bread. No time to allow the bread to rise. They're to eat it unleavened, and they're to eat it with bitter herbs. The bitter herbs are to remind them of their bitter bondage in Egypt, from which they're about to be freed. And they are to eat it roasted in the fire, not raw or boiled or prepared in some other way, but roasted, because time is of the essence, and all of it is to be consumed and destroyed. They are to let none of it remain, and whatever remains is to be burned with fire, and they are to eat it. And they're to eat it with a belt on their waist, sandals on their feet, and their staff in hand. They're to eat it in haste. What they are about to do, they must do quickly. There's no rest here on this dark night of judgment. And look at what God says in verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. God will execute judgment on all of Egypt. And they will mourn not only for their firstborn and for the firstborn of their livestock, but they're going to mourn even the death of their gods. God will execute judgment on the gods of Egypt, and they'll cry out to their gods, and their gods won't hear. Where are you, Ra? Osiris, save us. Where are you, O Heket? And there will be no response. There will be no resurrection for their gods. Death will come to all of Egypt's gods. Death will come to every house in Egypt. Every home in Egypt will be made a tomb. Egypt will be on that night a vast cemetery. What a terrifying night. What a horrendous night. Not so long ago, Pharaoh had said to Moses and Aaron, I don't know this God. Who is this God of whom you speak? He knows him now. In wrath and in terror. And yet, on this dark night of judgment for Egypt, the children of Israel need not fear. Verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The blood of the Lamb will be a sign on their houses. Death will not come to them. Not because they are undeserving of it, but because the lamb was slain in their place. The blood was applied. And here we must note something that is often overlooked. It was not just the Egyptian homes that were marked by death that night. The homes of every Israelite were also marked by death, but a substitute death. Not the death of their firstborn, but the death of the lamb. The blood of the Passover lamb. Well, it's reminding Israel of God's gracious provision of redemption. They didn't earn this rescue from Egypt. They did not merit their rescue from slavery. They didn't deserve to be called God's chosen people, his children, his special people. They didn't deserve to be rescued from this destroying angel. But they received deliverance from the bounty of God's grace by the blood of the slain lamb, which was the instrument of God's merciful choosing. And so in a real sense, we can say, as has been said, that the blood of the Lamb brought Israel out of Egypt. And that blood, well, that blood makes all the difference. For God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over them. That's verse 13. Now, perhaps it's even better translated in verse 13. When I see the blood, I will cover them. Because the verb in verse 13 is different than the verb in verse 12 and is rightly translated that way. When I see the blood, I will cover them. And it's not so much that the Lord sees the blood and sort of makes a detour over the houses as though you're traveling around them in a different way. But it's rather that the Lord sees the blood and provides a covering for the houses. As one author put it, He, the Lord, stations himself squarely and immovably at the door, like a hovering bird, spreading its protecting wings over its young. The Lord covers the Israelites' houses, keeping watch over them in the dark night of judgment. The Lord shields his people from his own wrath, by himself intercepting the death angel's thrust as he stands guard at the door of their dwellings. I think of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes the striking blow of death to shield us. He covers us through the dark night of judgment. And you can almost imagine the cross marked out between the doorposts and the lintel above. He covers you with his blood. It's God's message to Israel. It's God's message to you and me here in Exodus 12 at the Passover. God is saying to you, I cover you with the blood of my beloved Son. I cover you with my Lamb. So that when you know you've broken God's law, his word is to you is, I see the blood. When you've given in to temptation again, his word to you is, I see the blood. When sin rises up against you, prevailing day by day, here is his message to you. I see the blood. I am covering you. And so great is that covering. There's no weeping. There's no death. There's no fear. There's no judgment. What are the children of Israel doing instead in their homes during this dark night of judgment, falling upon Egypt? What are they doing? Well, they're sitting down together at a table to eat. They're eating a meal, even as Jesus is standing at the door to cover them with his blood. They are safe inside, eating a meal. A table is prepared in the presence of their enemies. And they must eat it in haste. Yes, you saw the instruction there. But the haste is not because the blood of the Lamb is going to lose its power. It will never lose its power. They eat it in haste because the day of liberty, the day of new life, the beginning of a new year, the day of resurrection is at hand. When the dawn comes, after that dark night of judgment, there will be weeping, there will be wailing in every Egyptian home. All of them will be turned into tombs, a great cemetery throughout the land. But not so for the children of God. Their homes will be open, and all of their firstborn and all of their children will walk forth as children of a new day, children of new life, free from bondage and having escaped death. And of course, so it is for all who are covered by the blood of the Lamb of God, by the blood of Jesus. Even as John the Baptist would declare of the Lord Jesus Christ 1,400 or so years later, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, we're going to learn more about the Passover in the weeks ahead. It did a number of things. It pointed to a number of things, pointed back, pointed forward to the great coming of Jesus. And so we have more to see about this one who is our Passover lamb. But it also provided for them in the present the enjoyment of a salvation won, a salvation accomplished. And so it is for us when we come to our great celebration meal, following this one, the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. The table of the Lamb. It proclaims to us that redemption has been accomplished. In the past, yes, there at Calvary, there at the cross of Jesus, there's nothing left for you to do, nothing left for you to reconcile. Jesus' blood, the blood of the Lamb of God, is sufficient to wash away all your sins. You bear them no more. God has seen the blood of his Son that covers you. But that redemption accomplished will not be fully enjoyed until that great day when Christ returns. And so when we come to the Lord's table, we sit down with him at that table. And that day we will sit down with him at that great wedding banquet of the bride and of the Lamb in the new heavens and in the new earth. And there he will spread that table for us. But that redemption accomplished in the past at the cross, consummated in the future when Christ returns, is for you to be enjoying already now. Now. God is saying to you, here I see the blood and it covers you. You are children of the resurrection day, children of new life. He knows full well that we're still sojourning. We're still in the wilderness, set free from bondage, to be sure. We're no longer under bondage, but we're still in the wilderness, traveling to the promised land. And he knows that it's hard and there will be trials. And those trials come to show us where our trust and our hope should be. To show us how desperately we need Jesus, to show us our need of the Lamb of God, his blood and his righteousness. But he also feeds us along the way. And he sets a table in the wilderness, and he invites us to come. And he's always with us, always covering us every step of the way. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, is our covering. He is our Passover lamb. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for this great picture and instruction to us of our need, the need of a substitute, the need of blood to be shed and applied, of how you do that all of grace. We thank you for the Passover lamb. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his blood shed for us. And Father, as we continue sojourning in the wilderness to the promised land, we pray that you would uphold us and sustain us, provide for us in every way, that we would and we would know we walk in the covering of his blood. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.